The Buffalo News Ice Time podcast is brought to you by Express Windows. Windows starting at $359 installed. Visit expresswindowsinc.com.
Hey, everybody. Rachel Lindsay from the Buffalo News. I'm here with the Ice Time podcast with my coworker, Mike Harrington. We are now at the Olympic break, and we're going to take a little bit of a look back at what the Sabres have accomplished thus far to get in playoff contention, what they need to do, where some of the strong points are so far this season, and what are we going to learn about the Sabres in this 25-game sprint once the Olympic break is over later this month. So, Mike, my first question for you is, we're going to look at the standings and look ahead to what Josh Doan labeled last week as a 25-game playoff. The Sabres are in the first wild card spot in the Eastern Division with 70 points. They're 1 point ahead of Boston. They're 5 points ahead of Columbus and Washington that are each tied with 65 points each. The 25-game playoff starts with road games at New Jersey, Florida, and Tampa Bay, and then a quick home trip home March 3rd against Las Vegas. So what do the Sabres need to do once they get back home, to Buffalo from all their different points locales, Cabo San Lucas, the Bahamas, the Disney World? What do they have to do to stay in contention and continue the consistency that they have created to get to this point?
Well, Rachel, they don't need to play 840 hockey, which is roughly what they've been playing since the middle of December. They're in a good position now, and it's amazing to think we're talking about playoff contention here. They're at a situation now where 25 games left. If you win 14 of those, which isn't anywhere near outside the realm of possibility, you're at 98 points. I mean, my bottom line is this. I can say it right now. The Buffalo Sabres are going to be in the playoffs. The drought is going to end this year. They are good enough. They have plenty of talent. Obviously, things can happen. If you suddenly have some ridiculous run of injuries, things can change. But they are better than a lot of these teams. What they should be doing in this 25-game stretch is they should be looking up. They should not be looking at what's behind them. They should be looking up. I don't care about Washington, Columbus. Obviously, you do. But Columbus isn't going to win every game the rest of our lives. That's going to end. The Sabres, and Alex Tuch said it, and they kind of stumbled a little at the end. They're not looking to squeak in as the second wild card. They should be looking to finish second in the Atlantic Division. I'm not going to concede first place to Tampa, but realistically, you probably should. The Sabres have 3 games left for them. Unless they sweep them, they're probably not going to win the division anyway. Second place, the Atlantic Division, gets you home ice advantage in the first round of the playoffs and probably a much more favorable matchup. Probably a series against Detroit or Montreal as opposed to Tampa or Carolina. That's where the Sabres should be looking in this 25-game segment. They should be trying to finish second in the Atlantic Division, period.
And Mike, I mean, other than just winning games, how do the Sabres have to do this emphatically, get that second Atlantic Division seed? What does the team need to do?
Yeah, I want to see what Jarmo Kekalainen does at the deadline to pump up the defense. The whole narrative, they have to get a top six forward, Bob. It's a bunch of garbage. They're eighth in the league in scoring. They need to pump up the defense. The bottom pair is a liability right now. They need more veteran defensemen. And certainly people in this market should understand that based on what happened in 2006, have a lot of defensemen in the playoffs. So that's the first thing that the front office needs to do. What does the current team need to do? I need to see more improvement on the power play. They did have a run of 5 or 6 games in a row scoring a goal. You need to see more consistency in that area. And they need the goaltending to hold up. And to me, one of the big stories when practice resumes on the 18th is what is the status of Ukko-Pekka Luukkonen? Alex Lyon cannot play every game and goal. Colton Ellis is done a decent job at times. He's got a few wins for this club, but I don't think you can go into the playoffs with Colton Ellis as one of your top two goalies. They need Luukkonen to be healthy. He didn't go to the Olympics ostensibly so he could get healthy. We need to find out what his status is going to be going forward here. They need that Luukkonen and Lyon pairing to continue to play as it has, because that's really been a key point in the season. This club has gotten goaltending far above what we expected it would get.
The other thing I also think is, we talk about don't look back in the standings. Look forward, but create separation in the standings. The Sabres have slipped between, or I should say flipped between the first Eastern wildcard spot and the third Atlantic division spot over the last 2 weeks. I've been keeping track of that on a spreadsheet, but it's one of these, you know, again, like you said, set that goal. You know, we don't want to be the first wildcard. We don't want to be the second, you know, second team in for the Atlantic, you know, third team in for the Atlantic division. Go for that number two spot. And, you know, another thing that they've got to do is really take advantage of some of the strengths that they have created over the last few, you know, over the last few weeks, particularly as well. Tate Thompson has started to find his groove since, you know, they started winning games in December. The penalty kill, if not, wasn't going to be perfect this season, but they gained a lot of ground in the first half of the season and are seventh at 82.5%. And Chicago, for comparison, is a league leading, like, I think 86% almost. I think back to a big penalty kill last week against Florida that was huge. You know, when that was a 5-on-3 kill with Rasmus Dahlin penalized, with Bowen Byram penalized. If Florida was at full strength, they probably would have tied the game on that 5-on-3. But the Sabres really buckled down, took away the passing lanes, took away the one-time opportunities, and got big saves and goal. And you know, Alex Tuch put it perfectly. He said, "We were ready to do whatever it took to win that game. Sometimes you got to kill off those penalties. That was a great job by our whole unit there as well, too." And I really think that penalty kill in those situations has got to continue to be strong as well, too. And the Sabres are they're doing very well against Atlantic Division opponents. Those opponents that, you know, you get a little extra value in those points when it comes down to playoff positioning as well. Who knows? Maybe that 1 point they got in overtime against Tampa Bay, even though they lost on that Jake Gensel goal, that might pay dividends down the road when it comes to the difference between second and third in the Atlantic versus a wild card spot.
And they needed people to drop. Mm-hmm. If the Sabres are going to make the playoffs, who are they going to beat out? Well, lo and behold, it looks like the Sabres are better and are going to finish ahead of the Florida Panthers and the Toronto Maple Leafs, two teams who you certainly would have pegged to be in the playoffs at the start of the season, who look like, as we head coming out of the Olympic break, are in serious trouble and at serious risk of not making it. And that would be a first for Tampa, for the Panthers in Florida to not make the playoffs after winning two straight Stanley Cups. All the injuries they've had, you certainly understand why, but they've played a lot of hockey the last 3 years as well. The Sabres needed to jump ahead of people. There's two teams that they've jumped ahead of.
Don't wait months for new windows on your home. Express Windows can have them installed in just weeks with high-quality double-hung windows starting at only $359. Call Express Windows for a free at-home estimate or stop by our showroom on Delaware Avenue in Tonawanda.
Right. I mean, where else have you seen strengths out of the Sabres in their pursuit of a playoff berth?
To me, you look at the defense here. You've got four defensemen who have played roughly 23 to 25 minutes a night. And we have the expectations, of course, for Dahlin. But the real story here in the season has been the massive jump up taken by Matias Samuelsson, one of the three or four most improved players in the entire league. The big steps Owen Power has taken in the last 30 games. He's a different guy than he was at the start of the season. You're seeing the maturation process really hitting for a guy now in that year 3-4 period, like we saw with Dahlin. And Power's defensive game has gotten much better. We've seen Bowen Byram really start to step up and become an offensive force. This club is getting so much offense out of its defense. And they're not getting hurt at the other end. You don't see the odd man rushes we saw last year because Lindy Ruff has the forwards figuring it out. So to me, this team has really taken its steps in goal and on defense and with the defense adding to the offense.
Well, I'm going to counter this for a little bit because I was also going to ask where you think some of the deficiencies are of this team. My deficiency, what I've seen, is the bottom two on defense. Michael Kesselring has been snake bitten by injuries. They got him because he was a big, tough physical presence with a lot of upside. But injuries, including that upper, you know, ankle sprain on his left leg, all those injuries have hampered his ability to create consistency. Yeah. And let's be real, Jacob Bryson has not been playing well. You look at that loss to Pittsburgh. Those two were on the ice, you know, for three of those goals by Pittsburgh, whether it was as a defensive pairing for two, as an individual skater, I believe Bryson was on there for one of the goals. They finished at combined -3, and Jacob Bryson was benched. I think it was like with 7-4 after 7:44, it was after the second or third goal by Pittsburgh. And you brought up very solid points about the minutes that Dahlin, Byram, and Samuelsson are logging. You need to have that solid number three pairing to take some pressure off those top four, to give them a breather from time to time. You know, one of the numbers I saw when I was going back through just the minutes for some of these defensemen, granted, this was an overtime game. Rasmus Dahlin played nearly 28 minutes of that overtime loss at Tampa. That's a high number. And then 26 minutes is usually where he's at. I've seen Dahlin logging, I mean, not Dahlin, Samuelson logging higher minutes as well, too, because the guys are in shape and they can handle it. But I also think once these 25 games approach, they've got to firm up their bottom two on defense, whether that means putting back in Zach Metza or, dare we say it, pull the trigger on a trade that will bring that five or six defensemen in.
Don't you think Jarmo Kekäläinen is just itching to make a trade here with this club? He hasn't been able to touch the roster. You can't you can't mess with a good combination, but clearly now they have a need. To me, Bryson and Metza are your number 7-8 defensemen. That's not a knock on them. That's what they are. They're not designed to be in your top six. They've played pretty well in spurts. Bryson obviously has tailed off a little lately. The Pittsburgh game was an abomination. You need to have another NHL veteran in with Kesselring. Now, they're going to get at some point Connor Timmins back, you know, after he had that terrible leg injury. That essentially is kind of like a trade, because Connor Timmins really contributed on the penalty kill and contributed to where it was. Now, he hasn't been great at 5-on-5. So
he's also good at blocking shots.
Right. I need another NHL-level defenseman. I need to make a deal for an NHL-level guy to play with either Kesselring or Timmins. And that way, Bryson and Metza can become numbers 8 and 9. You know, it went back, if you remember, in 2006, it went back to about number 10 on defense. But to me, if your bottom 3, 5, 6, 7 are Kesselring, Timmins, and someone else, that would give the Sabres quite a bit of an advantage over where they stand on defense right now.
Moving, you know, looking at some of the surprises we've seen so far this season, you know, Alex Lyon is one of them for me, because he was a guy with UPL injured. He's the number one goalie right now. He's the right now guy. But there is the reason, this is the reason the Sabres have signed him, is kind of, you know, an insurance policy, is someone who's experienced and who's proven and who can step in a pinch and do that. But he's not there for the long haul. And that is no knock against Alex Lyon whatsoever. This is his role.
You better give it up. You got to give it up to Kevin Adams. He signed him for 2 years.
You know, that
wasn't a 1 year free agent deal.
And that's one thing people forget. Kevin Adams was instrumental in a lot of these moves. And you know, and going back a little further, some of these guys that were drafted, so was Jason Botterill. The other surprise I find on this roster, Josh Doan. Do you ever think, and we talked about this before, do you ever think you'd see Josh Doan getting a contract extension before Alex Tuch? I mean, Doan is versatile. He's gritty. He's crafty, particularly around the net. He's really become an asset on the power play. He's got 21 points, 7 goals, and 14 assists on the power play. You know, he's also not afraid to be physical and to create opportunities off the back check. And I, in my opinion, Josh Doan is the future of this team. One of the features of the team, particularly given the investment the Sabres have made in him thus far, you know. And who are your surprises on this roster this year?
Well, the first thing I would say about Doan is ask anybody associated with the team, ask any fan who's watched the team, would you rather have Josh Doan or JJ Paterka? I don't know that anybody would say JJ Paterka.
There's no argument there, Mike. There's none.
Remember when the trade happened? Oh, my God. How are they ever going to replace J.J. Paterka's goals? Well, I think they've done a pretty good job at getting a guy who can score and is a completely better all-around player.
Well, and not just that. Everybody's looking at Michael Kesselring as the piece in that trade. Right. Oh, you know, we got Michael Kesselring. He's a big, you know, big physical defensive. Nobody forecasted that he would be injury-prone this year. Whereas Josh Doan, quietly, professionally, went in, did his job, exceeded all these expectations. He's getting, what, $6.5 million AAV because he kept his head down, was a professional, and did his job. And let's take the tag off. He's no longer just Shane Doan's son. He is Josh Doan, you know, the future of the Buffalo Sabres.
No, and you look at other surprises. Lyon, you didn't expect him to be this prominent, but he has proven in Detroit and Florida he is a quality NHL goalie who can win you games. So if you said to me the start of the year, Lyon's going to get 10 to 15 wins, I would say, sure, that's probably going to happen. The surprise of the season has to be Matias Samuelson. This guy is going to get Norris Trophy votes.
He's rivaling Rasmus Dahlin for Norris Trophy candidacy as well.
Rasmus Dahlin's forced
his way, too. Yeah,
sure. And he has come into this season, he had 7 goals for his entire career. He's, what is he at now, 11? He's at double figures this year. You know, he is proven to be an offensive.
And he's had a few
snipes. Right. He's proven to be an offensive force. He's proven that his defensive game has taken several steps forward, both in terms of physicality and puck awareness. And he is killing plays. And all of a sudden now, you don't just have to rely on Rasmus Dahlin. This is a guy who has, you know, people forget, Matias Samuelsson was, you know, taken 32nd overall. That's a pretty good draft, and you can take Dahlin and Samuelsson back-to-back, I would say. You heard all that groundswell of people saying, oh, the contract, buy him out. Mm-hmm. And Adams certainly put the kibosh on that right away. They weren't buying him out. That would have been ridiculous from a financial standpoint anyway. But they felt there was a lot more he had to give than we saw last year, and he's done it. He clearly had a good summer. He clearly was mentally refreshed, physically refreshed. This guy has been an absolute stud on this team.
And he's healthy as well, too. One of the issues he had the previous summer before last season, he spent a lot of that summer recovering from injuries as well. And you can't recover from injuries and get yourself ready for the season at the same time. One has to come before. You can't put the cart before the horse. One has to come before the other.
He was kind of a Kesslering type. He was a Kesslering type, struggling through injuries.
Yeah. So I agree with you. Matias Samuelsson, that's the other really pleasant surprise, you know, emphatic surprise, I would say, of this season for the Sabres. I know we talked a little about some of the deficiencies. You know, one of the things that just keeps jumping out to me as I look at the post-game stats from each games, where I think the Sabres do need to improve as they get on these 25 games, face-off percentage. They're last in the NHL in face-off percentage, 44.7%. What is it? 50% is usually the threshold where it's like, okay, this is good. If you can win half those face-offs, you're guaranteed time with the puck. I was looking at a stretch of 4 to 5 games between January 22nd and 31st. The Sabres were under 40% in face-off in 4 of those 5 games, including 26%, which is putrid, 13-1, 37 loss, and a 5-0 at the Islanders. I know the two numbers contradict each other. But the thing about face-off, I know, it's wild.
That's why I don't freak out about face-offs.
See, I do. We're gonna disagree with this because I think this is guaranteed time with the puck. Years ago, I had players tell me this, and Lindy talks about this.
You can lose, you can win a face-off or lose a face-off, and it often doesn't reflect possession.
Okay.
Now, the reason why the numbers are important, though, and your point is right, is I don't care about the face-off numbers for most teams. I care about them when they're extreme. When they're extreme in the plus, or when they're extreme when the Buffalo Sabres are right now. That, to me, is the issue, is why are you having some of these games where the numbers are in that 30-35% range? That's what they need to get away from. They need to get away from the games where they get destroyed in the circle. But even at that, there is some subjectivity to some of the numbers. Who won the faceoff when the puck goes through the center's legs and the team coming forward gets the puck first? So there's some of that, too, that I always hold on to a grain of salt with them.
Or, see, conversely, I also look at situationally. Oh, I'm watching that OT in Tampa. I'm watching the 5-on-3 they defended in Florida. And I'm thinking, these guys have to win these shorthanded faceoffs or this overtime faceoff because you guarantee your team possession with the puck. Would you rather have Rasmus Dahlin holding the puck in overtime or Victor Hedman getting the puck in overtime? Big difference as well. So I think if the faceoff percentage can get a little more consistency, I mean, that 4 to 5 game stretch, 26%, 36%, 33%, 30%, that is bad. But it's also something that fluctuates over the course of a year. And whenever Josh Norris comes back, I expect to see that number go up as well, too, to take some pressure off Ryan McLeod and Tage Thompson, who are the faceoff guys, the primary faceoff guys right now for the Sabres.
You're right. That you said the word. The word you said was situationally. That, to me, is when the faceoffs matter. Other than that, a lot of times it's just kind of a bogus number that doesn't stir me a lot. Situationally, it's a big point.
I guess maybe I'm thinking still in football terms about time of possession. I want to see the team that, you know, that I'm thinking is going to win this game hold on to the puck a little more as well, too. So, you know, one more topic we're going to go to. We're going to go to what is on the horizon for this team. The first thing I think is the Sabres have 3 more games against Tampa Bay after the break. Yep. Tampa Bay is the class of the Atlantic right now. They've got the West Coast trip in March during March Madness. And they're back to the 3 games a week pace. And the question is this, can the Sabres continue the grind and slash sprint of the schedule after they take time off to relax in places like, again, Cabo San Lucas, Disney World, and the Bahamas?
You know what? Everybody's doing it. Some teams will handle it better than other teams. You know, my experience in the past, teams that are struggling, losing teams don't handle it very well. Winning teams tend to handle it very well. And the other thing is Olympic bounce back. You know, some guys might be banged up from the Olympics. Some teams have 7 or 8 or 9 guys at the Olympics playing with various clubs. The Sabres only have 2. That probably is a bit of an advantage for them. You know, if your players end up in the gold medal game, you know, that Wednesday night game against New Jersey, you might not see Tage Thompson play in. You know, you might have to hold him out and get ready for the Florida back-to-back when they come off the schedule. There are different things like that that happen in an Olympic year. But I just feel that because it's pretty much equal for everybody, everybody's going through the same break. This is a team that's got a bunch of guys on there who've played some hockey in their lives. I think they know they're going places. They haven't gone as a group before. I don't think this is going to slip away from this group. And I think they're more talented than a lot of these other teams. And they'll do what they need to do. But you're right. The biggest concern I have is that schedule coming out of the break. You know, they stumbled a little going into the break. And now you got to come out. New Jersey, super desperate team. Going to be right off the top. Florida, super desperate team. Tampa Bay being Tampa Bay. And then, okay, get out of that. Now you got to play the following week. You're playing Vegas and Pittsburgh. So this is going to be a 5-game stretch coming out of this break where there's 10 points available where you can't get 3 or 4 points. You need to figure out a way to get 6 or 7.
You need a minimum 6 as well.
So right.
The other thing I want to see in these 25 games, I want to see which players in that dressing room who've been in this position of let's get ready for March, you know, let's get ready for April. Maybe let's get ready for the playoffs. Guys like Alex Tuck, you know, who was with Vegas during long playoffs run. Alex Lyon, who was at that playoff run in Florida in 2023. Bowen Byram, who won a Stanley Cup with Colorado in 2022. I want to see how these guys take the reins and say, this is how we did it. This is how we need to do things here. If we're going to get into the playoffs, if we're going to fulfill Alex Tuck's prophecy, this team's going to be resounding in the playoffs. And I know the players, the younger guys like the Zach Bensons and the Josh Stones of the world, they will learn as they go and how to navigate this process and to carry all that consistency that they created, you know, in the first 50-some games of the season and carry it into next season from the routine of games, practices, off-ice workouts, being at the rink and back around teammates. I want to see how people like Alex Tuck, Alex Lyon, and Bowen Byram lead this group as they prepare for the final 25 games of the season.
Who has to navigate this process, Rachel? Tage Thompson, Rasmus Dahlin,
Matias Samuelsson.
And Matias Samuelsson. There's 4 key guys who have never been in the playoffs.
Yeah.
So these guys you mentioned, Byram, Tuck, even Jason Zucker, has a lot of playoff experience.
Yeah.
The guys who have been in the playoffs are going to have to help not just the young players on this team. They're going to have to help some of the star players on this team who are going to be making their debut in the Stanley Cup playoffs. And let me tell you, wherever it is, let's assume for a second the Sabres are in there. And they've played at Carolina, they've played at Tampa, they've played in Montreal, they've played in Detroit. It is going to be a completely different animal when they go into one of those rinks in a playoff game. And they're going to have to learn to handle the adversity of that. And that's going to be incumbent on these veterans to help these guys who have never been in this spot before.
And we've talked about this, too, as we're preparing for, you know, what are we going to do for the playoffs? It's a totally different environment. They're going to see different faces of media members in the locker room. They're going to deal with NHL protocols now and not just team protocols as well. All the attention that's going to be on the team, you know, if they make the playoffs. I mean, this is going to be the story of the NHL if the Sabres make the playoffs.
And that's not going to just happen if they make the playoffs. This is going to be the story of the NHL, one of the big ones, all through the month of March. The Buffalo Sabres are on the verge of snapping the longest playoff drought in the history of the league.
So and the it's attention pro sports.
The attention is really going to ramp up here in the month of March if it looks like the Sabres are on that path where they're continuing to get close to clinching this thing. And they're going to have to really be able to handle that as well. It is going to be a bit of a distraction.
It is. It is, especially for those young players. Again, They're going to be in this totally new environment and have to learn all about how to handle themselves professionally and smartly to do this. So, all right. So we're getting up on time here, but it is February 10th. And on the record again, Mike Harrington believes the Sabres will make the playoffs this year. And I did pick them as a playoff pick in our preseason previews as well, too. We're going to wrap it up here. The Olympic break is underway. The Olympic tournament starts later this week in Northern Italy. And if you want to follow any of our work, we do some analysis. We've got a couple stories up going into the Olympic break about the Sabres. You go to buffalonews.com and look up our coverage. I'm Rachel Lindsay, cover the Sabres for the Buffalo News. And this is my colleague, Mike Harrington, news hockey columnist. And we are signing off. And thank you for tuning into Ice Time.
Express Windows is a best of 716 favorite for window and door installation. They also offer discounts for military personnel and seniors. Learn more at expresswindowsinc.com. Express Windows. Fast, easy, affordable.